This is the Gas House Gang on 104.1 FM KMOX. Sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling, a Daikin Comfort dealer. Now, the Gas House Gang on KMOX.
Best time of the year for sports. Great. You found the right place. Let me just put that out there. You found the right spot to talk all things sports with Chris Ronge. I'm Tom Ackerman on the Gas House Gang. Hi, Ronge.
What's up, dude? What a weekend.
Dude, what a great weekend. So much going on. Huge game tonight. Blue Jays Mariners is really exciting. I love game sevens. The Blue Jays and Mariners don't play in these. In fact, the Mariners have never been in this situation, a game seven of an ALCS where they have a chance to go to their first World Series. Blue Jays haven't been there since 93.
Yeah.
Long, long time ago, my freshman year in college, spent the weekend in Bloomington for homecoming and got to do sports on a Sunday morning yesterday from Assembly Hall in the same classroom where I learned basketball from Bob Knight. He taught a class there.
That's fun.
It was kind of cool, like going back in time.
Yeah.
Always dreamed about what that would be like, and I did that. Saw a really good football team. Beat up Michigan State.
Number two in the country, Thomas.
It's unbelievable.
Your football team is second ranked.
Yeah. Some have them number one in their power rankings. There's still a long way to go, but man, it is just incredible. The Bears won.
Bear down, baby.
Yeah.
So everybody did an appropriate amount of bearing down this weekend. I want to congratulate you on it. Well done. Well done, Tom. Well done, Matt. They came through. They didn't look great. But they're still winning games. Their trajectory is it's going up, baby. No. And they have a real head coach.
Yeah, they do. And
that's the key.
From a fantasy standpoint, it hurt. Caleb didn't do anything for me. That's
wasn't
fine.
Great.
Whatever. Michael said he loved my interview with Don Fisher yesterday, voice of the Hoosiers. He's like he's been doing it for 53 years. He's like the Jack Buck of Indiana.
Yeah.
You know, there'll never be another Don Fisher. We love Fish. Also, the Blues won, got a home win.
They did, so they can win at home. That's good.
They got a home win. Yeah. It's early, but congratulations to them on doing that. No, seriously, they did play well. I mean, Snuggerud and Kyrou got goals. Those are the guys you want scoring. They've got the touch. They have an incredible potential, I think, in terms of scoring. Defense, I'm not so sure about yet. I want to see this thing work out, but they played better in front of Jordan Binnington, who made 18 saves. City finished out its season, tying Real Salt Lake 2-2. The big story there, though, was Roman Berkey gets a two-year extension. And, Chris, he doesn't do that unless he thinks that City has something cooking there. He's not going to come back. He could play anywhere in the world he wanted to. He, for the most part, he could have played overseas, whatever. But he sees something there. So that's good. Perhaps there's something brewing there with ownership that they're going to turn this thing around.
There was some reporting on that from Tom Timmerman that he was shown plans, which does happen with players that could be free agents or they're looking to sign an extension, that they want some assurance from ownership, from management, that there's going to be a plan about making the team better moving forward. Or that player can say, all right, well, if you don't have a good plan, I'm out and I'm going elsewhere. And he did not do that because apparently he does like the plan. So that's encouraging because we were promised playoffs this past season and clearly it did not go that way. It went the exact opposite.
That's right. You saw the greatest performance by a baseball player in the history of the game and perhaps the greatest player to ever play the game. Shohei Ohtani on Friday night had three home runs in one game and pitched six scoreless innings and struck out 10. It is an amazing performance that we'll be talking about for years unless he duplicates that at some point. A game to get them to the World Series, that just is unbelievable. It really is. And the Brewers, who steamrolled through the season, best record in baseball, get ousted in four.
And one of those home runs, the three that he hit, it left the stadium, Tom. He hit a ball that left Dodger Stadium. And anybody who happened to be watching that game, sometimes you don't realize in the moment. You know a game is good. You know a guy's playing a good game. But you don't realize historically how great the performance is until it is over. And after he's hit that third home run and he's recorded that 10th strikeout already, as a pitcher, you realize that he has an argument, and I've seen more people arguing it than not. In fact, I can't even recall a person who has not argued that that was the greatest single game baseball performance by an individual player in the history of baseball. And that, as you mentioned, it was also a clinching game, one that sent them to a World Series. I don't know that anybody can make a good argument against it.
No.
It was that incredible what he did over the weekend.
It is
incredible.
Absolutely amazing. And as Lauren points out, Tommy Edmonds heading back to the World Series, another former Cardinal. You might get another one in Randy Arozarena. If the Mariners win, he could be heading back to the World Series. And you think that's something. What if Albert Pujols takes the Padres to the World Series?
Now,
Albert is interviewing with the Pods, folks. Get ready.
So we talked to Sam Blum, was it a couple of weeks ago, about this opening, and he covers Major League Baseball. And he is reporting and has done so in the last 10, 15 minutes that Albert, who once was a candidate for the Angels job, is no longer in the running for that. So it looks like at this point, it's the Padres. Things could change here. We don't know exactly what's going to happen as the World Series comes and then ends, and the regular season, or the baseball season comes to an end. Things could change a little bit, but it looks like the Padres have interest. And at one time, we thought maybe Albert takes that Angels job. He's already on staff there. He's already being paid. Maybe they just make him the manager. Well, apparently that is not going to happen.
Manny Machado and Fernando Tatis Jr. and anybody else in that clubhouse will listen to every word that Albert Pujols says.
Of course.
I guarantee it.
Of course.
That'll straighten that up. On the drive home from Bloomington, I painted this just fun little thing. I said, what would Cardinals fans do if the Padres called the Cardinals for permission to talk to Ollie? And Ollie went to San Diego and ended up going on to win it. Cardinals fans, it's just like, it's funny. The Padres are a great scenario for any manager right now.
Oh.
They have a loaded roster. Of course, that's not going to happen. I just wanted to get a reaction out of my friend who was mm-hmm. driving with me. He just laughed. But, wouldn't that be something if Albert Pujols managed the Padres and could win it all in his first year with that kind of roster? What if he has Yadier Molina with him? We don't know where Molina is going to go.
And I don't – look, we've talked a lot about those two guys. I don't know that – Yadier Molina, I think he wants to be a manager. I don't know that he would be long-term cut out to be a Major League Baseball manager. And it's not that he's not capable, doesn't know the game. Clearly he does. He's a brilliant baseball guy. We all know that. It's just the goofy work that goes into it, having to deal with the media. I think that would wear thin very quickly for him. I think having to deal with the press every single day before and after the game, having to take questions when things aren't going well, I don't know that he would like that. I think he thinks that he would like it, but once you start to do it and if stuff isn't going great and you get challenged on something, I'm not sure that he would be up for that job.
Well, I think that if he spent a year watching somebody else manage and he had the role of bench coach, let's say, he may decide for himself whether he can do that or not. I think that he's capable of doing anything that he wants. But he needs a little bit of time. I think Albert seems to be ready for that sort of scenario. He spent a little time in front of the camera and the microphone and some of those things that perhaps he could handle. But I'm not saying that Yadi couldn't at some point, but maybe not right this very second. Is Yadi going to be standing next to Ollie Marmol in the dugout? Bernie Miklas on my show yesterday didn't think so.
Yeah, I think that's probably it.
Talking to Chaim Bloom about it yesterday, he said he was getting to know Yadi a little bit better and was glad that he joined for the last three games and certainly, or the last few games, whatever it was, last few series, and certainly was looking forward to seeing what Yadi might be able to accomplish in his life and, gave him all the credit in the world, blah, blah, blah. It didn't sound like something that was imminent, no doubt.
And it's not that it won't happen ever. It's just that it doesn't look like that's going to be a thing now.
Yeah, what you need to concentrate on with the Cardinals is who's going to be in the starting rotation. I mean, let's just be real.
There you go.
Who's going to be in the rotation? What's this lineup going to look like? The Cardinals are not going to be an organization where things are going to change. Let's just put it that way. The look of the team, the feel of the team is going to change. You need players that don't strike out, and you need pitchers that register strikeouts. It's pretty much that simple. By the way, I'm getting a lot of circles on the video feed. So if you're getting your video feed frozen up for any reason, it's because of my computer. How about that?
It's you.
I'll put it on me. I don't know. I'm seeing a lot of stalls. Is yours circling?
Yeah, mine's stalling too. Yeah, okay. I think the Wi-Fi.
I blame it on Amazon. The Amazon outage earlier today.
There was an Amazon outage.
You didn't hear about this?
No.
Overnight. Oh yeah.
What the hell?
There was an Amazon like outage.
How did I not
hear about
this?
Which affects a lot of things.
Well, it's affecting the Gas House Gang today.
What else happened in sports? There's so much. And it. See, Lauren just said you guys are frozen. Told you.
Lauren, thanks for watching us
on
Facebook.
Not just me, you.
Us. Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter, you can watch the Gas House Gang.
So it is an exciting time for sports. There's a lot. And we're leaving out one other story, and that is that the University of Missouri is going to be playing on game day, or going to be featured on College Game Day at Vanderbilt and playing one of the marquee games in college football this coming Saturday. Missouri is ranked 15th in the nation. They fell one spot from 14. But don't be discouraged. Mizzou is 6-1, and they can say that. It doesn't matter. They're 6-1. They are very much in contention for a college football playoff spot. Now, they're going to have to play a lot better than they did against Auburn, but credit to them, they did score the last 13 points of the game, and they did win the football game, as ugly as it was, and they're 6-1 with one loss to Alabama, who is the fourth-ranked team in the nation right now. So it's looking better for Missouri. There's still a long way to go. This win would be a monster win for them. It would knock Vanderbilt out of playoff contention for the moment, and it would vault Missouri into a very good position because the whole world is high on Vanderbilt right now, and Mizzou has a chance to be spoiler on a national stage.
So this will be really interesting because 2 weeks from tomorrow is the first CFP ranking that comes out. So we're just a couple of weeks away from that. You get that win this week, you're certainly in the top 12. I don't think there's any question you're in the top 12. It gets a little dicier from there. But at this point, you're right, Tom. They've got it in their own hands. You win this game this weekend, and you know you're looking pretty good for that first appearance in the top 12 CFP. And I think that is a reasonable expectation for Missouri fans, is that their team, maybe not every single year, but occasionally, you're in the conversation to be in that playoff. With it expanded, with it including that many teams, you should be in that conversation. Again, not every single year, but we should be talking about Mizzou more often than we do getting into a playoff. That should be the goal.
I think if you're a Mizzou fan, every single year you should be in the conversation. That's what you want. You're in the SEC. You're spending tons of money. You're building a new facility on one side of the stadium. It's time to – you want to move into the big time. You want to be – you're an SEC team. You need to be an upper-level SEC team. That's what you want if you're a Missouri fan. It's what you're shooting for, and you'll get into the playoff if you are that every year because they let like half the league in. I'm kidding. But the SEC gets a lot of attention. And the schedule is tough. I mean, you got to go to Vanderbilt. You got to host Texas A&M, third-ranked team in America. Mississippi State is better. At Oklahoma, at Arkansas, who just fired their coach Sam Pittman and gave A&M all they could handle in that game on Saturday. So a long way to go. By the way, Illinois is back in the top 25. They
ILL.
Didn't play. But they're back. They're number 23. And I got to say, they got through the tough part of their schedule. They have two losses, but they are to numbers 1 and 2 in the country. Ohio State and Indiana are their two losses. At Washington, Rutgers, Maryland, at Wisconsin, Northwestern.
Mm-hmm.
It is not out of the question that they could take all five of those. So Illinois then would have two losses, and would they be able to squeeze their way into the conversation? They cannot, obviously can't take another loss.
No.
But they got to hope that Ohio State and Indiana keep on trucking, and there's a chance for them. Not a great one, but there is a chance for them. Much better chance for Missouri.
The thing that does hurt them is the amount by which they lost to Indiana. It's not that they lost to Indiana. It's that they just got clobbered there. So that does hurt them a little bit. You can't be upset with them losing games to number one and number two, right?
Yeah.
You can't. If those are your only losses all season long, looks pretty good. But you just got absolutely beat the hell up by the Hoosiers. What, 53 points?
It was 63-10.
Not
that I remember every play of that game.
My God. It was so out of hand.
But in December, you know, and when they're talking about you, and it was back in September, maybe. You know, sometimes it's how you play lately. Now you got to go stick it to the rest of your schedule. Five games still left on it for Illinois. And there's so much that we're not even halfway into the show. We got a lot to do. Amy Markscore is coming on the show today.
A little Blues hockey with
us. Talk some Blues hockey with us. We're going to take your questions. Looks like we're running smoothly now on our YouTube, X, and Facebook feeds. Hope I didn't jinx it. We are on 104.1 FM, 1120 AM, the Odyssey app. And I want to talk a little bit more. Maybe we'll play a bite from Chaim Bloom with me yesterday about his plans for pitching. I think that's kind of the meaty part of that conversation that we can discuss. He also got into the catching position a little bit with Yvonne Herrera. That on KMOX's Gashouse Gang right after this. It's the Gashouse Gang with Chris Ronji. I'm Tom Ackerman. Amy Markscore is going to talk some Blues hockey with us in about 10 minutes. I wanted to play you this. This is from Sports on a Sunday Morning. Chaim Bloom, he is the new president of baseball operations. And one of the topics I brought up with him, I told him, I said, hey, I could not name your five-man rotation right now. And I'm curious what sort of depth you have right now in the minor leagues. And I said, I would assume that some action is going to take place once the World Series is over and you can start moving around pieces on your roster. Here's what he said.
For sure. Well, first, to speak about the minor leagues, there's still a lot of work left to do, of course, but I'm really happy with the way our pitching program took a step forward in 2025. Some of our frontline guys, probably some of the guys that are most prominent for various reasons, struggled here and there. An exception, kind of a qualified exception, is Tekoa Roby, who really was making strides, and then unfortunately, he's had some injury issues over the years that eventually culminated in the Tommy John that he had this summer. So we're going to have to wait a while on him. But it was really exciting to see what he was doing before he went down. But beyond that, throughout the system, we saw a lot of guys take steps forward. And it was really cool to see. You saw that group of starters at AA that helped that team win a championship. And really up and down the system, guys whose stuff grew, who understood their identities better, started revamping their arsenals to be able to be more effective, beat hitters in the strike zone. So it's a lot to build on. Obviously, some of that is more down the road and is not necessarily going to factor into our 2026 rotation. We are really starting to talk about now what we want to do there. You know, I've talked about it. We're going to give Kyle Leahy a chance to come into camp stretched out and see what that looks like. You know, there's certain guys, whether you look at a Liberatore or McGreevy, who really made positive impressions throughout a long 2025 season, that hopefully we'll be able to take steps forward. And my hope is that as we go through the winter, we'll be able to find guys that we can put into this rotation, ideally, that can be a part of it for a number of years. And that's going to be a big focus of ours as we look at the market.
All right. So he just gave you three of the five right there. Leahy, they're going to give a shot. McGreevy and Liberatore. And then two, where he said a couple of guys, it sure sounds like they're going to go out and try to find, whether it's free agency or via trade, a couple of pitchers, sounds like controllable pitchers, that they can put right into that rotation and have it for the next few years, or at least 2 years, because that's what you need, Chris. You can't do this whole project without starting pitching. You're going to mess everything up. You have to have some people that can at least go five or six innings and give you a chance to see what you have everywhere. And starting pitching, obviously, is the foundation to any team at any level with any record whatsoever.
And so within that answer is the, I think the reality that Sonny Gray, they're going to try to find a place for him, that he won't be on the team next year. So whether it is the Giants who are going to be looking for pitching and maybe the Braves too, I've seen some reporting on that. I think it makes the most sense for every party involved here, that you let Sonny Gray go to a place where they're a little closer to contending. And for the Cardinals' sake, you maybe give an opportunity to a younger guy. Who knows? I mean, you've got all kinds of options here. But if the goal, there's sort of a continuation from this past season. The continuation of, I'm not going to call it runway, because I think everybody's tired of hearing runway.
Yeah, we've closed the runway.
Yeah. But there are still some guys they want to get a look at. And maybe that's what you end up doing in 2026, which is acceptable to me, unless you think, hey, this team could be really good if they just get that one starter. But I don't know that you're going into 2026 thinking that.
Yeah, I think you want to go in with about 8-9 different guys that you think could start games for you. Maybe even more than that. You're not going to have 5. We all know that. You need to have some depth there. I do like the thought of Quinn Matthews turning it around, but you can't expect him to just go right into a major league rotation. You're going to have to see more. I like what he said about Tekoa Roby. He saw what we all saw, that nice, repeatable delivery, really good stuff. Unfortunately, Tommy John's going to set him back for a little bit. He mentioned in there the double-A starters. I thought that was pretty encouraging. And, of course, one of those is Liam Doyle, who is going to start to make the climb very quickly. So you're going to see him, I bet you, sooner than later, knocking on the door of that rotation, too. But he did talk about the double-A starters helping that team win the Texas League. They're not ready to jump in, obviously, at this level just yet, but there's some good help on the way. And it sounds like an encouraged Heim Bloom from that standpoint. But I'll be very curious. This guy is known for finding pitching at a value price.
Yep.
And getting really, really good work out of him. I would love to go down the road with him on his theory on innings, innings load, openers, hybrids, that kind of thing. I think there could be some innovation here moving forward. I don't think it's going to be anything crazy, but I do think the Cardinals will do some tinkering and some experimenting along those lines. We're going to take a break. We will come back. We'll talk some hockey with Amy Mark scores. We'll get back into more baseball, football, whatever comes to mind. The Gas House Gang on a Monday is always a lot of fun like that. There's so much coming out of the weekend.
It's great.
It's awesome.
Great time of year.
I love this time of year. I can't get enough of all these sports converging. Back in a moment. We're sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling. SaligaHeatingandCooling.com. Oh, I love that tune. Takes me back to my youth, waiting for Blues hockey to take the air with us. Chris Ronji, I'm Tom Ackerman. Amy Mark Scores is with us. You know, her first gig at KMOX was covering the St. Louis Blues.
It was.
And all you did was go on, win a Stanley Cup. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. I would like to take all of the credit for that.
You should.
Yeah.
Before we talk hockey about this team, take me back to
that. What else am I supposed to do?
Why are you in here? Did we just do this?
Should absolutely
we just did this for 3 hours. Hey, now you're back in this room?
Can you take me back to that? What was that like for you as a hockey fan, but also a hockey player, to have that assignment for KMOX to work with Chris Kerber, which you, and this will circle back to what you're about mm-hmm. to do with him, but the fact that you were working with the Blues and you were covering the team at that time?
Yeah, it really was a dream come true, because I found my eighth grade yearbook. And it talks about what I did in my eighth grade school year. But the last part of it said, but Amy's true love is St. Louis Blues hockey. And it's her dream to be, and I quote, a hockey announcer.
Oh, a hockey announcer.
A hockey announcer. And there's a picture of me, eighth grade, that was my dream to be a hockey announcer. And 30 years later, I got that opportunity thanks to KMOX. And yeah, I mean, I know a lot of native St. Louisans remember when the Blues practiced. There was Brentwood, but then there was also the U.S. Ice Sports Complex out in Chesterfield, which then became Hardee's, which then was knocked down. But I was homeschooled, so I'd hang out at the U.S. Ice Sports Complex when I was 11, 12, 13 years old, and interview the Blues players for a little hockey newsletter that
I
wrote.
I think I was just getting started covering the team at that time.
We were probably there. Yeah, both there at that time. And so that to have the opportunity to join the Blues broadcast was an absolute dream come true.
That's awesome. That is pretty cool.
So tell us about this show. For people who are listening to the Gas House Gang and have not seen you yet on mm-hmm. Matrix Midwest.
Yes. So it is Offside Hockey with Kerbs and Amy, Chris Kerber, the Blues broadcaster. And it's an hour-long hockey show every Wednesday, 6 p.m. on Matrix Midwest. You can see us. We talk not just Blues hockey, breaking down the games. We always have a guest, whether it be Joey Vitale, who is going to start breaking down some plays. Maybe it will be Barrett Jackman, Chris Pronger, Blues alumni, other hockey writers across the league. We also take time to discuss what's going on around the NHL. So obviously Blues centric, we focus on Blues hockey, but also look at what's going on around the rest of the league. So it's a lot of fun, a unique show, and obviously you know Curbs. It's always exciting when he's on board.
I love Curbs. Tell us again, and we'll repeat it one more time at the end, but how do people get it?
So Matrix Midwest, and you can get it both on Spectrum or over the air channel 32. It's also on Spectrum if you have Spectrum. Let's say you don't have Spectrum, you're a streamer, YouTube or whatever. Mm-hmm. You can download the Matrix Midwest app. That's how I watch it. That's how I watch Matrix Midwest. M-A-T-R-I-X, Matrix Midwest. There's an app and you can stream it live. So a lot of my friends, a lot of my family, if you don't necessarily have that over-the-air television, if you have a different provider other than Spectrum, the best way is the Matrix Midwest app.
So
6 p.m. on Wednesdays.
Okay. Amy, the Blues can, in fact, win at home, huh?
Yeah, they can. You know, I said this earlier. If you're going to lose, I'm okay with losing big. Because that's not something that's sustainable. It's the same thing like winning 5-1, 8-0. It's not illustrative of how you're going to win for the rest of the year. It's kind of a fluke. Maybe you had a couple guys on fire. Maybe the team you're playing against had a really off night. Okay, so it's not going to be something that's repeated game in, game out. But what it does do is it kind of knocks you back a bit. And makes you reassess and look at the habits and look what you're doing on the ice. Look at how you're approaching the game. You know, is this a mental toughness issue? You hear the cliche a lot about getting to the hard areas. Are you not able to execute on your habits? For Blues coach Jim Montgomery, a huge part of the game are defensive habits. That's how he turned the Blues around last year. That's partly what gave them that push going into the postseason last year, were the defensive habits. We didn't see that on the ice. The Blues in their defensive zone, in their own zone at home, were scrambling. You didn't see those consistent habits. And so I'm okay with big losses because it helps you reset, gives you a little bit of that extra motivation to show this is not who we are. This is not a team that is going to make those mistakes over and over again. So to come back at home against a very good, dynamic Dallas Stars team to win that game 3-1, Jordan Binnington back on his game. I think a huge part of that game and a huge key to the Blues' success over the season is Jordan Kyrou and his play. Jim Montgomery said it was one of the best defensive games, one of the best overall games he's seen Jordan Kyrou in his career. And I agree with that. Jordan Kyrou was back-checking and creating his own opportunities to score.
That's important, no doubt. And right now, the goal leader on this team is Jake Neighbors, great player. Jimmy Snuggerud, great player. 3 goals already. Buchnevich has 4 assists. Those are your points leaders. And then you have to really scroll down this list mm-hmm. to find Dylan Holloway, who has mm-hmm. 1 goal, did it against the Blackhawks, but he also trucked Sam Rinzell and showed what he can do as well in that area. I'm not worried about Dylan Holloway at all.
No, I'm not either. And it's like any other beginning of this season, every player, every forward especially, is going to have that game where things just start to click or maybe they get on the board. Obviously, it's a gorilla on your back that you'd like to shake off sooner rather than later. But the Blues have depth at forward. What's interesting is, like Doug Armstrong has said, they don't have a McDavid-Draisaitl combo. Mm-hmm. They don't necessarily have that first line that just will blow you out of the water. But what they do have, 6, 7, 8 guys that can be one of the best second lines, and that's important, a second line strength, because it's that death by 1,000 cuts that Doug Armstrong keeps telling you. It's not just like you have your top line going against your opponent's top line. It means you have a really, really good third line. You're looking at Braden Schenn centering a third line, so those third line matchups become more and more unequal as you go further down the lineup, because your bottom six are perhaps better than anyone else's bottom six.
All right, Amy, Jimmy Snuggerud's 3 goals in 5 games. Right now, he is fourth. He has the 4th best odds of winning the Calder Trophy. Should we? I mean, I know we're going to keep an eye on that,
mm-hmm.
right, as the season goes on. But how likely do you think it is that he could pull that off? Because I have seen, I know we talked about this last mm-hmm. week, there were a couple of good, smart hockey people who think he might actually win that thing.
Yeah. I mean, I'm probably, I think you can look at it two ways. I am biased and objectively, he's got a good chance. So I'm obviously rooting for it. And what's so impressive about Jimmy Snuggerud, you've heard people compare his shot to Vladimir Tarasenko in the sense that goalies can't read it because he shoots it the way he shoots it, even if it's super close to his skate. He doesn't need that pullback or a big windup. It's super close to his skates, so you wouldn't expect it to be as heavy as it is, but it is heavy. So as good as his shot is, he might be a better passer. He had a pass a couple of games ago to Robert Thomas, and Jimmy Snuggerud was at the top of the faceoff circle, and he is looking across the blue line. He's looking across the ice and just blind passes it down to the goal line where Robert Thomas is set up, and it was tape to tape. So impressive, and it's moments like that where that could push him over the edge for that Calder Trophy race because he's got such a complete game in that sense.
The Blues traded Zach Bolduc for Logan Mailloux. Of course, the early returns mm-hmm. are not great, but it's also very early, or is it? I mean, should we be giving Logan Mailloux a little more time to round into form?
I would, for sure, for a couple of reasons. Zach Bolduc had more NHL games under his belt already. He had more experience than Logan Mailloux did, who just had a handful of games. So in that sense, Bolduc is already ahead of Mailloux. Also, Bolduc is a forward, and Mailloux is a defenseman. Defensemen take longer to develop. If you look at the timeline for developing hockey players, the way they mature into their games, even like by age, forwards come out of the gate flying. It's why you have a Connor McDavid or you have a Sidney Crosby at 17, able to play on a top line. Then after them, it's going to be defensemen, and then after that, goalies. And you can even see defensemen and goalies can a lot of times even play longer in the league because they get to their games later. So you have to give Mailloux time to develop on the blue line. And he did sit in that last game against the Dallas Stars. And it's not a just like, oh, you're being punished. Your play wasn't up to par. That's not what that is. Jim Montgomery has talked to Mailloux, say, we're going to give you a chance to watch the game from the press box, especially for defensemen. What it lets you see is how much time you actually have. The game looks slower from up there, and that can help a defenseman feel less rushed because we've seen those moments where Mailloux looks a little rushed in those plays. And so just to be able to remove yourself from the game, watch the play develop, see how much time you actually have can be very beneficial. And oh, by the way, if you're up in the press box, maybe you can chat with veteran defenseman Robert Bortuzzo. Maybe you can sit there and chat with Hall of Fame defenseman Al MacInnis. Maybe you can chat with Chris Pronger. Those guys are up there. They are going to help him as he develops into that play. So I think it's way too early to start trying to prognosticate who is the winner or loser of the Bolduc-Mailloux trade.
Blues will play tomorrow against the Kings, so we are expecting some sort of tribute for our guy John Kelly, yeah?
Yeah, I believe so. I think it might look kind of like how they, with a player, Tom, mm-hmm. you might know this.
Yeah, we actually asked Tom Stillman that very question when he was on the Gas House Gang, and he said it'll be very similar to how they would welcome back mm-hmm. a former player, as you said. So it's not going to be like he's out on the ice and they stop the, you know, they'd have a ceremony for him or something before the
game. Bring him a car.
I think they're going to
drive a car under the ice, a big truck.
I think they will, coming back from a timeout or something along those lines, put him up on the screen and let the crowd give him a big ovation is what's going to happen.
That'll be
and
nice.
That's appropriate. And he'll appreciate the heck out of that. And JK is just one of the best guys ever.
Matt Pajeski, the producer for the Chris and Amy show and the Gas House Gang, I'm pretty sure just gave us a wrap it up sign.
Is he kicking me out?
I feel like I saw his hands go up and say, all right, get the hell out of here.
We've enjoyed it, though. Tell us one more time how to catch you in Curbs on Wednesday at 6.
Yes. Matrix Midwest, I believe it's 32 over the air or on Spectrum. There's a Matrix Midwest channel on Spectrum, or download the Matrix Midwest app and watch it. Stream it live.
The balloting for the Missouri Athletic Club Sports Personality of the Year has ended So all of the members have put their votes in. There are six candidates for Sports Personality of the Year at the Jack Buck Awards. Three of the candidates are Blues. We'll tell you who's on that ballot. And I don't know when we get those results, but they'll be pretty soon. We'll see who you would have picked. I'll tell you next.
Now back to the Gas House Gang, sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling on 104.1 FM KMOX.
Great to have Amy Markscores making her Gas House Gang debut.
Every Monday she'll be with us talking some puck.
We talked some puck with her. We talked some baseball and all kinds of sports before that. The Jack Buck Awards, the Missouri Athletic Club, December 8th. Is what used to be called the Sports Personality of the Year dinner back in the day. And when Mr. Buck passed away, they renamed it the Jack Buck Awards, Jack Buck Sports Awards. Sports Personality of the Year, you can only win it once. Biggest names in St. Louis sports have won it. First winner was Bob Gibson. Everybody from Pujols to Hall to you name it. You know, the big dogs win this thing. But you can only win it once. So Eli Drinkwitz not on the ballot. He would be a good candidate. They're in playoff contention. But here's the six. So I mentioned three Blues. They are Jim Montgomery, Robert Thomas, and Jordan Bennington. Right. Two Cardinals are on the ballot, Brendan Donovan and Mason Wynn. And the sixth is Missouri basketball coach Dennis Gates. Their okay. team made the NCAA tournament, had a nice little run in the SEC.
All right. You know what? I would. Is it? So we don't know yet who it's going to be.
We don't
be, right?
know who we won. Would, no, but the balloting is closed, as I understand it. The members have. So we're not swaying anybody one way or the other. That's why I brought it up. I believe it closed at noon.
So Mason Wynn's going to win a gold glove this year.
Mm-hmm.
Donovan had a great year. I think it's going to be Jim Montgomery.
I agree with you.
I think it's him because of where they were, then where they ended up when he came in. And took over as the head coach in the middle of the season. I think it's tough to beat that turnaround. And to give credit, if you're going to give credit to the Blues for a turnaround, the natural place to go is the new head coach who comes in and, you know, it takes them to the playoffs when they looked like anything but a playoff team early in the year. And even though they had a really disappointing, heartbreaking exit in the playoffs, I think just getting them there. Getting them to that point, because I don't think we were expecting it early on with the way they started. The fact they got there was pretty remarkable. So it's got to be Montgomery, right?
I think it is. I think Monty will win it. I think that there's a chance that some of those other Blues votes could go to those players,
sure.
but I doubt it. I think that you're right. The figurehead of the organization, the guy who took them there, Jim Montgomery, will probably be the winner of that. They took the big bad Winnipeg Jets, as you mentioned, down to the last second, and oh man, should have gotten them on the road too.
That one's tough.
That
dude.
Is a tough one, because who knows after that? You just never know. The Chicago Bears were victorious. The best team in the NFL is
Bears.
The Indianapolis Colts by record. The best team in the league is still the Kansas City Chiefs. It's amazing. The Philadelphia Eagles won the Super Bowl last year, and they got by the Vikings. A good win for them. I listened to that one on the way back from Bloomington. But the Chiefs, man, 31-0 over the Raiders, who didn't put up a fight at Arrowhead. And it just, I'm not a Chiefs fan. I'm just saying this overall. They are now showing once again why they're a great organization. I cringe at the thought of them hosting throughout the playoffs again. I would love to see them.
Somebody different.
I want to see them get challenged on the road
there
by somebody. Couldn't someone else in the AFC step up?
And it would be nice if teams who face the Chiefs don't have to play against them and the officiating, you know?
Yeah.
It'd be nice to not have to go up the officials who are, you know.
I miss the old, and I'm so old school. Like, I miss the Denver Broncos being good. I miss the Chicago Bears being good. You know, I've always told you the Bears should be always be good. And man, isn't it a shame how bad the Miami Dolphins are? That is one of the classic franchises.
And I love Mike McDaniel too. I wish that was going better there, because he's going to get fired. And that sucks, because I think he's a really smart football guy, but 1-6, I don't know how you allow that to continue for much longer. And it could be the kind of thing where, although I'm doubting just how likely it is for him to get another head coaching job someday, I have this feeling that if he were to get another opportunity, he might be pretty good after that first go around. And I said the same thing about Matt Nagy, by the way. People trashed Nagy, and he deserved the criticism he got his first go around as Bears head coach. He's back with the Chiefs. Now his name is coming up again, and I said this. Matt Nagy looks to me to be the kind of guy that his second go around as a head coach, he might be pretty successful. And I bet the next team that he coaches does end up being good.
Sneaky good team to watch. They're underdogs tonight. Tampa Bay at Detroit. If the Bucs pull it off, they'll be 6-1. They'll even the Colts for the best record in the NFL.
Go Bucs.
They got a nice looking team.
I need the Lions to lose.
Yeah, there you go. Thanks for joining us. The Gas House Gang of KMOX. Bernie Miklas with us tomorrow.